Thank you so much for inviting us to come back. We really enjoy this conference every time we come. You know, because we come from a little bit different perspective. Most of the rest of our department is worried about, you know, saving babies' lives in the short term. And we, as a group, really want to look at these preterm infants and their long-term development and what we can do for them. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about my research at Brown. And how I'm going to do that is just to start by talking a little bit about language delay in preterm infants and review some of the research that I, just briefly, that I presented last year with some extra analyses that we did in the interim. And then, most excitingly, our cognitive outcomes from our cohort of children that we presented last year who are now all about 2 years of age. And I apologize if I get short of breath. The altitude and the pregnancy is all coming together. So I'm trying to go slow and breathe. So it is known that preterm infants have delays in speech and language, and it affects, they're mild to moderate delays, and it affects a variety of different aspects of their language, including their vocabulary development, their phonological processing, language comprehension, their short-term memory, and their grammatical development. And it's considered sort of a high prevalence, low severity problem because it happens in quite a few children, even as many as 50% of extremely low birth weight infants will need some kind of special education during their school years. But sometimes it's sort of a low severity. So, you know, early on in the outcome measures that we look at, you might not see it, but as they go on in school and they're more challenged, then these sort of low severity problems come out. And even with no major neurologic insults, so preterm babies are at risk for having major bleeding in the brain and injuries from their preterm birth. But even without that, there are deficits that remain in their social skills, their school performance, their literacy, and their mathematics skills. And the etiology here is really multifactorial. So they are born at a time when the brain is very rapidly developing in utero, and that we hypothesize disrupts the normal development of brain structures, including the myelination of their brains and development of that blood-brain barrier, which can help keep out certain toxins that once they're born and they're in the NICU, they may be exposed to, and they have a lesser capacity for recovering from or protecting their brain from. Compound that with the fact that as preterm infants, they have many morbidities that occur as a result of their care in the NICU, including chronic lung disease, other neurologic injuries, and a prolonged hospitalization. Some of our babies are with us for as much as, most are probably between 2 and 3 months, the ones that are in my cohort, but some babies can be there as long as 5 or 6 months in the NICU. And we really wonder about the environment and the sensory input in the NICU and how that's affecting their long-term outcome. So in the womb, a baby of this gestational age is hearing mostly the mother's voice projected through the diaphragm. And this, so there are frequent, low frequency, high intensity sounds all from her digestive tract and her respiratory system. And then intermittently there are some high frequency sounds that are at low intensity because the womb is a very good insulator of all of these high frequency sounds. And then in the NICU, they're born into this environment where it's high frequency, high intensity sounds. All of the monitors, all of the respiratory equipment, even the bed that they're in makes noise. And there's very little from my previous, what I presented last year, language in that environment. About 3 to 5% of the time of our recordings was ever any kind of language, and the rest of it is either noise or silence or the monitor going off, basically. And then they're compound this with the fact that they're also being offered visual input at a time when they normally wouldn't have done that. And how does that disrupt their language as well? Because now they're attending to visual cues that they would not have received yet. And how does that affect their attention to auditory cues and their language down the line? So, and we know that early language experience is necessary for normal development of speech and language. And is the same true for preterm infants, these babies who are in the NICU? You know, do we need to be doing more to make sure that they're exposed to the more normal thing that a fetus would be exposed to, which is the mother's voice and all of that as they're in the NICU? The objective of this study that we completed most recently was to test the effects of these early NICU recordings, the mean adult daily word counts, conversational turns, and child vocalizations, which were recorded at 32 and 36 weeks post-menstrual age in the NICU, with their Bayley 3 scores, cognitive and language specifically, at 7 months and 18 months corrected age. And so babies in my cohort were mostly born around between 24 weeks of gestation, so about 4 months early, to about 29 weeks of gestation, so you know 3 months early still. And so these babies are being recorded at different chronological ages, but we tried to keep it at the same gestational age, basically. So some of my babies might have been recorded at 2 months of life if they were born at 24 weeks, or only 3 weeks of life if they were born later in their gestation. And our hypothesis was that infants who were exposed to higher adult word counts and conversational turns in the NICU would have higher cognitive and language scores on their Bayley at 7 months and 18 months corrected age. Like I said, this is a prospective cohort study that we've been following now for 2 years. There are 36 that are enrolled in our old NICU, and we're currently enrolling in our new NICU as well as a comparison group. All of the babies are less than 1,250 grams at birth, which basically correlates to 1,250 grams. Most babies are, you know, at least 28 weeks or lower gestation. And 16-hour recordings are made using the LENA device inserted into a vest worn by the infant at 32 weeks and 36 weeks post-menstrual age. And basically, I follow the babies, and once they're medically stable, I approach the parents and may make sure that they're not endotracheally intubated, because you can't hear any vocalizations if they have a tube in their throat. And we do the recordings in the NICU. And we have completed the Bayley 3 on our cohort at 7 months, and we have about three more that are coming through at 18 months. So these are sort of preliminary results from the 18-month cohort so far. So this is a picture of one of the NICU babies with our little vest on. We actually have to put the device up and down because their chests are not big enough to accommodate the whole LENA device this way. So it's placed up and down in the vest. And this baby, just for an example, is on CPAP, so she has some prongs in her nose that are helping her with her respiratory efforts. And what I do basically is come in the morning and put it on the vest and with the device, start the device, and they wear it through the day. And we also record some other things about when the parents are coming in, what kind of respiratory support the baby's on, those kinds of things. And this is just a snapshot of one of the recordings that was done. And so you can see there are times when there is a lot of language that's there, but most of the time it's either silence or noise or monitor noise. And this is from our old NICU. And Dr. Johnson will have some data from the new NICU as well. So. And just to give you an example of how important it is for the parents to actually come in and visit. This is a baby that was born at 29 weeks gestation, that's 32 weeks now, and is in a giraffe bed, which is a very a very isolating bed. It's got double thickness walls, and it looks very scary to parents, so they don't, you know, get into the bed very much and actually interact with the baby. And the baby's getting gavage tube feedings continuously, so they're not doing discrete feeding times, and the parents did not visit, and the baby was in room air. And this same baby at the 36-week recording, and now the parents are coming in, and so there's at least some jumps in the adult word count. The mother came in from 9 to 10 a.m. in the morning, and then again at 1 to 2 p.m. for another feeding, and then dad came in at 9 p.m. So that's a nice example of how, you know, the parent visiting really does affect those adult word counts. For our analyses, we did negative binomial regression for our count data, and Pearson correlation analyses were performed for the adult word count and conversational turns and child vocalizations and the 7-month and 18-month Bayley scores. And all of these were adjusted for gestational age at birth. So here's our cohort. We have we have 36 infants total. The average gestational age is 27 weeks. An average birth weight was 896 grams. And you can see some of the other demographics here. I want to get to the good stuff, so I'm going to move along. So just thinking about our left from last year, I have some summary of that. Preterm infants are exposed to increasing number of words between 32 and 36 weeks gestation. So the adult word counts increased between those two recordings by 160%, and the conversational turns increased by 95%. And as I said, language was only a small percentage of the things that they were exposed to in the NICU. And they start to begin to make vocalizations prior to their projected due date and increase those significantly over time, increased by 80% between 32 and 36 weeks. They're also exposed to significantly more word from their parents than from other caretakers. So the adult word count increased by 385% at 32 weeks and 220% at 36 weeks when a parent was visiting the NICU, in that hour around the time when a parent was visiting the NICU. And they also had significantly more conversational turns with their parents than other caretakers. 524% increase at 32 weeks and 162% increase at 36 weeks. The child vocalizations also increased as well between when there was a parent visiting. This is a new analysis that we did that was really interesting that shows that when a feeding is happening with a parent versus when there's a feeding happening with a nurse, there's a significant increase in the adult word count in the conversational terms, especially at that 32-week visit. And so let me get to the cognitive outcomes that we have so far. So the Bayley-3, I put this slide in case people weren't aware of the Bayley-3, but basically it's a way to measure developmental function in infants. And we're using the cognitive composite, the language composite, and the receptive and expressive language scores in our analysis. And just so you know, a normal is, a mean is 100, and two standard deviations would then be 85 to 115. So all of our kids, again, except for on the language composite score, are falling within the mean. And this is the 7-month Bayley, which we find does tend to have a lower language composite score at that visit. But most of these kids are in our average range from our cohort. And so now just looking at the correlations, the conversational turns per hour were associated with higher cognitive composite, language composite, and receptive language scores from the 32-week recording at 7 months. And at the 36-week recording, all of those accounts were associated with higher cognitive composite scores at 7 months. And I think this is partially related to the fact that at 7 months, we do sometimes get a lower language score, and it's more behavioral. Babies who are 7 months old are just getting into their sort of stranger anxiety, so we can't use maternal report of their language. So we have to actually see it in the clinic to be able to code this. And so I think that that's partly why we're not seeing as much of the language at the 7-month analysis. Same thing for our 18-month. Most all of our babies, the average was in the normal range. And then for our correlations, the adult word count and conversational turn count were both associated with higher 18-month language composite scores and expressive language scores. And then for our 36-week recording, that just the adult word count so far has was associated with a higher expressive language score at 18 months. And this is not my full cohort. I still have several children to come through, so we're still waiting for all of those results. This is more like preliminary. So in summary, for every turn count per hour at the 32-week recording in the NICU, the cognitive composite score on the Bayley was increased by 1.6 points, and the language composite score was increased by 5 points. And for every increase by 100 adult words during the 32-week recording, the language composite score at 18 months increased by 2.4 points. And as far as the variance, the 32-week recording, that regression accounted for 24% of the variance in language composite score at 18 months, and 33% of the variance in expressive communication scores. And that turn count per hour accounted for 28% of the variance in the language composite scores and 42% of the variance in expressive communication scores at 18 months. And for the 36-week recording, the adult word count per hour accounted for about 23% of the variance in the cognitive composite score, and 26% of the variance in the cognitive composite score was accounted for by the turn count. So in conclusion, increased number of parent and caregiver early conversations in the preterm infant in the NICU are associated with higher 7-month and 18-month corrected age Bayley language and cognitive scores, and this really opens the door for language intervention with nurses and families in the NICU.